Good morning. We are live. Indeed, we are. How are you doing? It's a Friday morning. It's the 12th of October, 2018. It looks, by the way, like it's very bright out there, but it isn't. It's been wet and windy overnight in Manchester and in the northwest. We're being battered by a bit of bad weather and heavy winds. Nothing, of course, like they've had to put up with in Florida. I'm well aware of that, but it's been wild overnight and it was a bit mad. I'm being told there's no sound, but there should be sound. Rhetorical Oracle is telling me there's no sound. Well, I can see that the microphone is working and that there is sound, so I'll just play on anyway. It was your volume, good man. This is a mad thing, isn't it? People, you never imagined this, did you, years ago? You could do this and you could have a don't apologize, mate. You had your sound down, no big deal. Good morning. Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Kim, the Stinger, this Simia, Hot God, Susan. How you doing, Susan? Paul Hunter, and anybody else who's joining. I didn't give much notice of this. This is very self-indulgent, really, isn't it? This YouTube streaming type of thing is very indulgent. The idea that anybody would really want to hear what you have to say, but that's what's happened. Andy Warhol got it right, didn't he? We're all going to be famous in the future with live streaming and stuff like that. Hey, listen, John Ankey was very good on the programme last night. And because he's such a generous guy, John, I want to mention that his new film, Is Trump For Real?, is available to rent for $1 through Amazon. And the link is pinned to the top of the Richie Allen Show Facebook page, which I don't manage anymore. But there's a link to watching John's 72-minute film about Donald Trump and Steve Bannon for $1. Come on. You can't go wrong with that, can you? Support him. $1. Surely we can all afford 99 cents. So check it out. Good morning to Emily in Sydney, to Goy Master Flex, to KM Herborg, to Angelic Inspirations, and to Tripless, Richie Roo and Mark Richards. Yes, there's a few people watching. Anyway, when this ends, it basically uploads automatically to YouTube. So it does. Right, so there's a weird heading on this video, isn't there? Don't feed the trolls. I've been fascinated over the last couple of days since Gemma O'Doherty came on the show, the Irish journalist, great journalist, Gemma O'Doherty. She's done great work over the years. There's not many more like her, sadly, anymore in print journalism. But she's great. I have a lot of time for her. And the things that she's written about over the years, the corruption, disappeared children, she's great. And she was on, of course, talking about a number of things. And one of the things she was talking about was Gardasil. But anyway, what's been very interesting was when she came on with me during the live interview, there was a lot of tweeting going on from the world of medicine, from doctors. Not a lot of doctors, but two or three different doctors were getting involved. And they knew Gemma was coming on, and Gemma is well known. So while she was on, they wanted to tweet out that what Gemma was saying was nonsense, and they wanted to be very critical about what she was saying. That's fair enough. It's a free world. But our listeners engaged some of these doctors in conversation. And interestingly enough, some of these doctors engaged back, and not just for a few tweets. Good morning to Barney on the Isle of Man, by the way, to Clyde and to Mushy DMT. What was interesting was they didn't just tweet back once or twice. They kept the conversation going over the last couple of days, and it hasn't really abated, this conversation. There's a couple of doctors. One is a doctor called Alistair. Good morning, Daz. Alistair McAlpine, who's a children. He's a pediatrician of sorts in British Columbia, who's been tweeting some of our listeners and responding to their tweets. And what has been very interesting for me watching this from afar, and I don't get involved for two reasons. One, I don't have any time, and that's the truth, number one. But number two, I extended an invitation to the doctor to come on the program, and he flirted with the idea of coming on. He even put a Twitter poll on his Twitter feed. He asked his own followers, should he go on? And I think the majority of his Twitter followers said, yeah, go on. Go on and talk to this guy and tell him the truth and give it to him. Fair enough. But he decided not to do it. What have I been fascinated by? Well, I've been absolutely fascinated by, I just made a couple of bullet points, really, by how some of our listeners have been getting really wound up by some of the things said by one or two of these doctors, like really vexed by it. Like it's really affecting them. To the point where I got an email overnight from a listener who said that he was in an exchange with one of these doctors and it left him really angry to the point where he had an argument at home with his girlfriend. And then he wasn't on speaking terms with his girlfriend and he had to apologize to her. He was properly wound up by it. And I thought, wow, is that right? Are you getting really, really wound up by somebody because that person is being a bit obtuse, or in some cases because they're being a little bit aggressive in the language they use, and sometimes because they resort to bad language or name calling? Why does it matter so much to you what these doctors say or what their followers say to you? Why would you get so wound up by these people? I really don't understand that. And I think it's kind of interesting. It's worth looking into and it's worth talking about. I mean, a point I made this morning, made a couple of little notes here before I get into it. You don't know these people. It's just a name and an avatar on a Twitter account. You don't know anything about him or her. You'll never meet them. Very unlikely that you will anyway. How could they have so much power over your emotions? How could they have so much control over you that you would end up getting so fed up that you're having arguments in the car with yourself? You know that great stand-up comedian talked about, you're in the car and you're like, you're saying out loud what you wished that you could say to their face. Why do you get wound up? Haven't they lost the argument when they resort to swearing at you or calling you a name? Shouldn't that just completely chill you out? Oh, well, they've lost the argument. I mean, there's a TV doctor based in the UK. I think he does stuff for Channel 4 television. I think his name is Dr. Christian Jessen, or Jessen, spelled J-E-S-S-E-N. Now, Charisse is a long-time listener of the programme. And I think Charisse is somebody who is very, very committed to engaging people in discussions around vaccine safety. And Charisse is very much of the opinion, very strongly opinionated, there's no problem with that, that vaccines are dangerous. And from what I can see, she is pretty polite. Maybe she's full on. That's not for me to say. I have no problem with it, but she's pretty polite. Now, Dr. Christian Jessen told her to fuck off now. And that really triggered people and really wound them up. And I'm like, but isn't that a victory of sorts? If not a Pyrrhic victory, because the guy doesn't go away, but it's a moral victory of sorts, isn't it? When an establishment professional, when presented with evidence that young children have been hurt by vaccines, would prefer to tell somebody to fuck off. A woman, call me old-fashioned if you want. Right? So why does it matter? Why do you get so wound up by it? Why do you keep pressing and pressing and pressing and pressing? You know that vaccine injury isn't a myth. You know it. You know it to the fibre. You know it to your bone marrow, don't you, right? So why, A, would you waste time with these people? And B, incredibly, get wound up by them to the point where you join in the newest game in town, which is who can shout the loudest. Doesn't matter, does it? Does it? They call you crazy. They call you nuts. They insult you. They say that you live in dark holes and you get really, really peeved off. Why do you do that? I said before, and I'll say it again, your family, your friends, maybe your work colleagues, maybe. You might put some value on what they have to say about you. But somebody you've never met. Somebody who, in the case of the doctors, to their credit, they are tweeting at themselves. But most of the time they are tweeting using fairly pathetic pseudonyms and hiding behind cartoon avatars. You really let somebody like that fuck your day up. I care deeply about the opinions of the woman I love and a few close friends. And when they say things to me that I don't like, which happens when they criticize something I've said or the manner in which I've said it, it might rub me up because we all, you know, immediately the shoulders go up when somebody says something to us for an instant anyway, just for a minute. But I'm inclined to listen to what they have to say because they are my friends and my family and I love them and I value what they say. But anybody else, I couldn't give a shit. I really couldn't. It's a fascinating thing. On the one hand, people who should know better are being driven mad by the rudeness of people they don't know. And rather than walk away from them and say, well, they've become rude and aggressive and abrasive, well, game over, right? Rather than walk away from it, you, not you particularly maybe, but people we know through the show will keep going after them. I'm like, stop. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, we have people apologizing to people they've never met just in case they caused offense. This is another new phenomenon. Astronaut tweets a quote from Winston Churchill. People not connected to the astronaut in any way, people who he is not invested in emotionally, start screaming, oh, Churchill was a bastard. Ah, how can you tweet him? How can you quote him? Ah! And he apologizes. He says, I'm sorry if I caused any offense. Who? Who might you have offended? Some fucker you've never met before in your life and you never will? Last year we had Pizza Hut. Do you remember Pizza Hut last year? They ran a giveaway in the Sun. People started screaming about that. Ah! The Sun is a racist paper. Pizza Hut apologized and said, no free pizza for Sun readers. I never read The Sun, so I didn't care really. Paper Chase did the same thing with the Daily Mail. Cancelled advertising at the behest of people complaining and criticizing them. People they obviously had never met or had no investment in. It's mad. It's mad. And I think some of us, and this might make you a little bit uncomfortable, have lost the coping mechanism to deal with being told that you are wrong. And whether you're right or wrong actually doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're right. It doesn't matter. But some of us can't deal with it any longer. And I don't blame people. I blame the engineering. People are being engineered to be like that, to be more inwardly looking, to be more insular. So they can't cope when being told they're wrong. So they become more determined to prove to the person that they're right. And it just doesn't work. And it's a waste of your emotional energy. It's a waste of your energy and a waste of your time. I was speaking with my great pal, Jean-Anne Crowley, this morning, the actress up to her eyes at the moment, with wonderful productions about Constance Markovich. Look up Constance Markovich, by the way. A lot going on for that great thespian, Jean-Anne. She picked up on something this morning about debating. And don't worry, I'm not going to go into debating right now because I did speak quite a bit about debating the other day. But debating introduced me to people who would say, Richie, what you said is a load of old bollocks there, pal. And I'll tell you why. And Jean-Anne picked up very cleverly on the importance and the relevance of that statement as a whole and that statement broken into two. Because that statement as a whole, Richie, what you said is a load of old bollocks, and I'll tell you why, is kind of profound. in a way, crass as it might be. But Richie, that's a load of old bollocks! It's problematic, isn't it? Because that's a load of old bollocks, it's conversation over. And that's what these doctors are doing. And you're getting wound up by it. They're in the shout the loudest and you win the argument game. But that's a load of fucking nonsense. Right? So don't give them that power over you. The email I received was profound. It was powerful. Guy was saying he was shaking with rage at some goon. Now, maybe the doctors are not goons. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But they behave like goons when they use bad language and when they start calling people names. So don't give them that power. I remember years ago, you know, speaking about dealing with abusive criticism, I'm certainly far from perfect. Caroline would say that. I have my flaws and I can be a pain in the arse just like everybody else. I'm not perfect. I think when you make radio and TV programs, I think people, they see a side of you that is an honest side of you, but that's all they see. And they can think when they get used to watching you or listening to you on the radio, they think, oh, you know, he's great and all of that. Maybe they don't. Maybe there are a lot of people who listen and think I'm an idiot. But either way, I'm not great and all of that. There are character flaws with me like anybody else. But one of the things I am impervious to abuse, and I am impervious to criticism that is dressed up with abuse. Criticism I'm happy to take. I listen to criticism all day long. I remember many moons ago when I got my start at WLRFM in Ireland, and I was given the graveyard shift, which is presenting live radio between 2 a.m. and 7 a.m. when there aren't really that many people listening. Maybe people are working in factories on shifts, and maybe people like myself who struggle with getting a good night's sleep and often turn to the radio as an aid. But you're not setting the world on fire at 2 o'clock in the morning anyway. But I remember I was only doing it a short while, and I got a couple of letters. And I'm going to be honest and admit that when I got the letters, I was delighted. I thought, great, letters. Letters sent to the radio station for me, from listeners. Dare I even say the word fans? Well, the letters were incredibly critical letters. Very, very strongly worded letters, basically saying that I was absolutely crap. I was so bad, it was offensive. And what was the radio station thinking of putting me on? I was a moron and all of this sort of stuff. Well, I was absolutely crestfallen. It was like somebody had taken a dagger and stuck it right there in the middle of the chest. All gone, ego out the window, wanted to crawl under a stone. Humiliation, reading the stuff. Honest to God now, there are people who will say, not much has changed in 20 years. And they have the right to say that. It's all subjective, isn't it, when you listen to radio. But anyway, I was gutted about it. And eventually, I shared, because I couldn't let it go, I shared the letters with a presenter who was very kind to me, had been very kind, and said, you know, this is terrible. What do you do about this, you know? And he said, what do you mean? What do you do about it? And I said, look at that. You know, he's an idiot. He can't speak. He can't string two sentences together. I can barely understand him. He is fucking rubbish. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. Fire him. I don't have to listen to this nonsense. And the very kind presenter said to me, do you know any of these people? I said, no. It's not the biggest city in the world, but no, I don't know who they are. They signed their real names and they put their addresses on the letters. And they even put their phone numbers there. But no, I've never heard of them. And he said, what the fuck do you care about what they think about what you're like? And I said, so I'm good then? And he said, no, you're not. You're not great at all. You have a lot to learn. It's pretty poor, Richie. But, you know, you'll be given an opportunity to kind of make your way. Ignore them. And by the way, he said, we'd only be worried if we got 100 or 200 or 300 letters. What do you care that one or two people think you're fucking useless and are calling you names? It was an unbelievable lesson for me then. And from that day till this, I dealt with the criticism and the abusive criticism. There's two different types. And the kind words, I dealt with them in the Kipling manner, so to speak. Don't mention Kipling, because you might offend a bunch of triggered people who don't want to hear about imperialism. And it was a big lesson for me, you know, not to worry about it. It's the same today. I don't care about trolls. I don't read them. I don't listen to them. I'm not interested in them, because what difference does it make? And I'm giving you a little bit of advice here today. When these people who have responded to your tweets about whether it's vaccines or about anything, the minute they start getting personal with you, the argument is over. Smile, move on somewhere else, and talk to somebody who's a bit more responsive and a bit more receptive to the ideas that you're trying to express. Don't let them have so much sway over you. I can see it. I can read the tweet, the timeline. I can see how upset it makes some of the listeners to this program. Don't. Take a big, deep breath and stay with me. These people don't matter to me. They're not connected to me in any way, shape, or form. They have very strong opinions. I will not be able to change them by bombarding them with tweets over and over and over again. I'll share a bit of information. The minute they start getting abusive, I'm going to smile and I'm going to move out of that conversation. Because I think we have become engineered to where we take it very personally when somebody disagrees with something that we hold dear, something that we think is really, really important. When somebody else says they don't agree with it, we've lost that ability, which I went into, and I won't again bore you with what I spoke about the other day, but we've lost that ability to go, well, all right, well, let's chat it out. And Twitter is no place to have debates, because like I said, it's full of people who can just scream as loud as they can. And in the case of some of these doctors, they've got tens of thousands of followers, and they encourage their followers then to jump in on you. And you might have 500 followers. You might have none. You might have 1,000. You might have 2. And then you get more and more angry and wound up, and that's where they want you. Low vibrational, maybe you could say. So don't get involved with all that nonsense, you know? Just don't. Don't let it do that to you. You're better than that. You're far more intelligent than that. You know there are certain immutable truths that we've come to understand. You know that some vaccines have caused great, great harm. Andrew says, Richie, you have a snooker ball head and you talk rubbish. I have a cue ball head. Somebody said to me the other day, you look very right wing. You look very neo-Nazi with your shaved head. I shaved my head because it started receding, my hair, in my 20s. It started receding in my 20s. Late 20s! I had hair till my late 20s. And now, I just shave it off. And if somebody thinks it makes you look very right-wing, I couldn't give a shite. You know, I couldn't care less what people think about me. I really, honest to God, a lot of people say that. A lot of people say that they don't care, but very few people really mean it. I don't care. I get emails all the time. I swear, and I can read them out. Richie, did you hear what he said about you? Do you really think I'm going to look? What do I care? I live in this house in South Manchester. I'm surrounded by people I like. And I have conversations from time to time with a friend of mine, Michael, and with a friend of mine, Hayden. And both Hayden and Michael have profoundly different points of view than I do on certain subjects. And you know what we do? We robustly argue with one another. And sometimes it gets a bit, and then you know what we do? We just laugh and we get on. So, what somebody with, what another content creator thinks about me, I couldn't care less. I'll debate anybody, anywhere, on a specific issue, and if somebody wants to take me on about a specific issue and say, I don't agree with that, I will let them onto my show and we will debate that issue all day long. When people start screaming abuse and calling you names, well, that has no effect whatsoever. And the thing to do there is just to ignore it. You got two choices, ignore or block. YouTube has a feature, hide this user from your channel. You can do that or just ignore them and don't get wound up by it. Don't get wound up by it. Don't give them that power over you, folks. And you know who you are. I see you on Twitter. You mean well. You're decent. You're affected by all this crap as much as I am or anybody else, and you can't understand why people can't see it. And this vexes you. This puts you into an emotional state. I know, I've been there. And then some doctor who can't argue with you and has no answer when you point out some facts about vaccines, some doctor tells you to fuck off. Game over. Thanks very much, doctor. Thanks very much, doctor. Good boy. Good day to you. Move on. Move on, because life is too short. And you won't ever change anybody's mind by bombarding them with stuff anyway. You remember Suzanne, God love her, Suzanne Small, who I'm in touch with, who spent a few days in a psychiatric care institution because she told her doctor she was very much of the opinion that 5G was going to be very dangerous and that the radiation from mobile phone towers was dangerous. And Suzanne is right, in my opinion. Now, she's not. She's out now. Of course, she was only there 5 days. Only there 5 days. 5 days is a long time. But she's out now and she's said for me, looking into what the doctor did and how the doctor did it. But I did say to Suzanne privately, I said, Suzanne, you did bombard the doctor, right? With voluminous materials through email. You're not going to change anybody's mind by banging them over the head repeatedly. I like to apply the give them a moment of pause approach. Share a little bit of information with them. They might read it, they might not. If they don't read it, it's not a personal affront to you. Don't take it personally. Just move on. That's all I'm saying, right? Mad stuff in the news. Loads of comments coming in there, folks. There's more people watching this than I anticipated today, it being a Friday and it being last minute. So thanks for your comments there, all of them coming in. I like that. Thank you. Good morning to everybody joining this live stream. Let me just mention again the new film by John Hankey, who made the great films about JFK and JFK Jr. It's about Trump and Steve Bannon, and it's very, very interesting. And John Hankey was very much taken in by the Donald Trump campaign, the pre-election campaign before Trump won the election, and was very much taken in by what he was hearing and believing. And then was dismayed when he realized that none of what Trump was promising was going to come to be. So John, very much like the great Neil Sanders, whom I referenced on the program last night, John began looking into Trump and who put Trump where he is today. And it is fascinating. So check it out. It's only $1. It's only $1 to rent it for a day. You can watch it. It's John Hankey. It's very good. And I recommend that you check it out there. There is a wedding in Windsor today. I was speaking to Jean-Anne on the phone earlier on, you know. Isn't it mad to see people queuing on the streets to watch two toffee-nosed fuckwits in the piss and rain get married and wave those stupid fucking flags that they do? What is wrong with people? But you know what? I said this 1,000 times on the program. They're our people. Now, that might sound very virtue signaling. It might sound very Michael Landon from Highway to Heaven. It might sound very loving and all of that, but they are our people. The doctors who you think are shills for the establishment, many of them are not. They just don't know any better. And the teachers and the academics, they are under the fucking jackboot of the system just as much as we are. So it's not a case of forgive them for they know not what they do. It's not that at all. It is they are our neighbors and our work colleagues and our former schoolmates. They are as much victims of the madness as we are. Don't be hurt or beaten down or upset by something said by somebody on Twitter or on Facebook, somebody whom you don't know. They cannot hurt you. Feelings are spiritual. They're not physical. You can't touch them. They can't be broken. They can't be hurt. So don't allow somebody hurt your feelings. Just move on. There you are. I'm looking forward to the weekend. It's going to be a quiet weekend for me and for Caroline and Jazz, because we had a mad weekend last weekend watching Jeff Lynne and ELO. And because we're old folks, we're still knackered, because I am such a boring old bastard. Normally, we're in bed early. Maybe that's one of the reasons I don't sleep well. Maybe we go to bed too early. But normally, we go to bed, even on Friday or Saturday, we're in bed by 10 o'clock. Because both of us are knackered, you know. So the fact that we were at a concert late in the city and we were late getting back last week, we're knackered. We're still recovering from it. So I think we're going to watch a bit of TV, watch a film, I think, over the weekend. I think the new Halloween film is in the cinema, is it? Christ almighty. Jamie Lee Curtis is slogging that old dead horse again. But I like those types of films, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to watch a film, I think, and chill out. Sunday View will, of course, be live on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock UK time. I'll have a look over the front pages of the newspapers, as I ordinarily do. And MCK, Max Sean, is saying that Black 47 is a great film. That is set in the 19th century, mate, is it, in Ireland? And it's a film about the Irish uprising. Yeah. Neil has watched John Hankey's film. Delroy has watched it and said it's very good. I enjoyed it. Neil has watched it. The Irish Famine. Yeah, that's right. The Irish Famine. Black 47. Yes, I might check that out. Right then. That is it. That's all I came on to say. Don't feed the trolls. You cannot ever be affected by someone's opinion of you or what you think, when that someone has no connection to you whatsoever. Come on, right? You can't be. The only opinions that should matter to you are the opinions of the people you love. And you should listen to those opinions. The future Mrs. Allen will say things to me at times about me that I don't particularly like. But she is the one I love. She is saying it for my own good. And she's asking me to consider something that maybe I hadn't been considering myself. So I might be initially triggered, but then I think, right, well, why is she saying that? And I will mull it over. Some person or other who's got issues with anger, who's screaming abuse at me, whom I've never heard of, I couldn't give a shit. And I never will. That's it for this little live stream. These are very self-indulgent, these live streams, aren't they? The whole world is going to be living like this in the future. Andy Warhol was right. Everybody's going to think that we're all famous. Everybody's going to be of the mindset that what I've got to say is profoundly important and deep. Therefore, I should be on here all the time. Let me tell you this, and I'm not being modest. What I have to say is not profoundly important. What I have to say is not deep at all. It's just what I have to say. Check out triggerwarning.tv. Do check out Hayden Hewitt's live show, Trigger Warning with Graham. It's very, very good. Very good. It will have opinions, by the way. Good morning, Stevie G. It will have opinions, by the way, that you won't like. But who cares? Listen to it anyway and be triggered. Right, I'm off then. It's absolutely chucking it down outside. The Jazz Woman and myself have done our 7K this morning. I don't know what to do with myself. I can't go out. I might put some vinyl on in this dark room and just sit there quietly, listen to a bit of vinyl. Bit of Carole King, maybe, eh? Bit of Ray Charles. Carole King. That's a nice, relaxing record now, Carole King. I might listen to Carole. And How are you, Tez? Tez is coming over tomorrow to watch the rugby with me. Super League tomorrow. I've been asked to sing Wanky, 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 Wanky Warrington again. That's a one-off. We're never hearing that again. Did a story last night about football chants. Sang a couple of them. Not very good. Perfect Pembroke, how are you? 124 viewers, he says. Impressive. That's not impressive. That's shite. I'm important. There should be thousands here. Why aren't people listening to me? Ah! Right. On that ridiculous note, I'm going to love you and leave you. Look after yourselves and one another. Have a great weekend. Get away. So far away. That's right. Great song. That's Carole King, yeah. I could be a right dickhead now and take out some of the vinyl there. I got some nice vinyl. And I've not paid a lot for it over the years. Well, over the year. The future Mrs. Allen got me started on vinyl again. And I found some amazing things in shops for sod all money. You know, first pressings and stuff like that. Really good stuff, you know. And my neighbour says to me, Des, my neighbour in there, he's a good guy, Des. He says, you're playing them. And I said, yeah. And he said, you should be not playing them. They might be worth money. They're not really worth money. They're worth more than I paid for them. But no, I played them because they were meant to be played, right? Right, that's it, finally. Goodbye, good luck. And I'll see you Sunday at 11. The usual channel, Sunday at 11. Bye from me. Ah, there you go.